Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, telling stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character for over 50 years. Details at texancultures.utsa.edu.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Grocery store workers across the country are stocking shelves and ringing up pantry items as the daily onslaught of customers continues. As a consequence, these workers are at a higher than average risk of exposing themselves to coronavirus. Now the virus is starting to kill a few of them. At least six employees of grocery stores around the country have died after testing positive for COVID-19. What's happening at our local grocery stores here in San Antonio? What is HEB doing to keep you safe and their employees safe? You can call in with your questions and comments. Number is 833-877-8255, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tweet at us at TPRSource. We're joined this hour by Dia Campos, the Director of Public and Governmental Affairs for HEB San Antonio. Dia, welcome back to The Source.
Thank you.
And Scott Benedict is here, Director of the Center for Retailing Studies at Texas A&M University Business School. Scott Benedict, good to have you.
Thank you, David.
Dia, so recently HEB put your hours, expanded it a little bit. What are the new hours? What changed? Why are we able to put the hours back?
Right. So we've expanded our hours from to 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., closer to normal hours. And what allows us to do this is the food supply chain is becoming more stable and stronger by the day. And we are able to very efficiently restock our stores in an efficient manner and be able to serve our customers better.
Scott Benedict at Texas A&M University Business School, Center for Retailing Studies. Has there ever been an examination of like what will happen to the retail system that we have, we're dependent on in a pandemic like this? And did those papers that people theorized about, did it match up to what we actually ended up with?
Well, David, I don't think there's ever been a study conceiving of an event as broad and as significant as the situation we find ourselves in right now. So I think the answer is probably no. What's interesting to see is the sheer amount of discussion that's taking place throughout the industry, both in the trade press and among leaders across the industry on key learnings, activities, actions that are being taken, and the degree to which that information is being shared as best practices across the industry to help gain learnings and share learnings of aspects of retail operations, of marketing, of caring for employees, and of caring of customers to make sure that we all do the best that we can to get through this situation. That's been encouraging to see, I have to say.
So obviously people are calling this pandemic a black swan event, something so rare, hard to imagine until it actually happens and it's there in front of you. So Professor Benedict, I would imagine that, you know, grocery stores like HEB, Walmart, you know, their focus has been on keeping their margins tight, keeping the supply chain tight, not having any waste in the system. Efficiency was the highest concern. Not so much putting in redundancies in the system to make it bulletproof in case there is some sort of giant catastrophe like a pandemic.
Well, I have to say, as I've watched a number of retailers from a number of different channels or retail formats react and put in place plans to what is going on, I can't think of anyone, quite frankly, other than HEB, who had given thought to an event like this ahead of time. One of the things I read and learned was that HEB actually put in place a plan for something like this as far back as 2005, if I'm not mistaken, when President Bush at the time kind of sounded the alarm and said, we as a nation, we as a world should be prepared for something like this. Obviously, leaders throughout the years have also called attention. And I'll say that a number of retailers, particularly those in essential retail formats, grocery chains, health and wellness pharmacy chains, and mass merchants, those that are now and could have intended to have been at the front lines of situations like this, continuing to serve customers, they've done a great job of planning and reacting to learnings as they go. But I think there's very few companies, and HEB is quite frankly the only one that I know that had a plan, that planned for this years ago, and then put that plan into place when things started to unfold.
So, Diakopoulos, if you could react to that, HEB having that plan, is that where does that come from?
You know, it really comes from the HEB culture. You know, something that's really common within our culture that people hear all the time is this sense of restless dissatisfaction that HEB carries with us in just about everything we do. We're always looking to be better, serve our customers better, figure out how we can learn more. You know, we are a culture of learners and readers and people who love to study. And that's what we do. We not only plan for, you know, in a pandemic, but we also go through scenarios for anything that could possibly impact Texas, impact our customers, and impact, you know, our company. We're in constant planning mode, continuous learning, and that's part of who we are.
But I've been to multiple disasters in Texas, hurricanes most likely, and HEB is always pretty much at the table of figuring out how to respond to these natural disasters. I was did a story about the South Texas nuclear power plant and how they went into lockdown during Hurricane Harvey, and all of the workers were stuck there, and all they had to eat were ham sandwiches and for days, and they were sick of it. And then they went out in this giant, massive truck that they had and got to the local HEB, and they were allowed to go in and raid the meat counter and bring back more real meat and feed the rest of the nuclear power plant crew. It just seemed to be the lifeline that they needed to keep that place safe. So, I mean, HEB, I'm trying not to be, you know, off fanboy here, but, you know, they were was able to respond during another crisis.
Right. And, you know, responding to crisis, like I said, is something that we plan for. Taking care of Texas is something that's really important to us. And, you know, studying other retailers was really critical to our planning and really asking a lot of questions. You saw us implement product limits really early on in the process. We knew that would protect the supply chain while it greatly annoyed a lot of our customers, that we knew that was a way to protect the supply chain. And as of today, I believe we have lifted all the product limits on food across our stores, including lifting the limits on eggs just yesterday. And that just goes to show all of the hard work that our procurement team and our store teams have put into this plan to be able to protect the food supply chain for Texas.
It was kind of weird what supplies people were grabbing. We didn't know toilet paper would be, but frozen pizzas, that seemed to be something people were all grabbing a lot, and that had to be put a limit on, all sorts of things. And I guess it was just sort of as you go, HEB was figuring this out as well. All right, we're taking a break. Our phone lines are open. It's got some calls coming in, and we'll get you on the air right after this break. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Our focus is going to be on the employees and the people who shop there. How have things changed to keep you safe, to keep them safe? And this is not going to end soon, okay? This pandemic is not over yet, so we're in it for the long haul. So these are stuff, restrictions, wearing that face mask, keeping clean, keeping social distances. This is all going to stay in place. This is The Source from Texas Public Radio. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about grocery store workers in the time of coronavirus. What are the risks out there? What can we all do to keep them safe, because they are working to make sure that we are able to maintain during the pandemic? We're here with Dia Campos with HEB San Antonio and Scott Benedict, director of the Center for Retailing Studies at Texas A&M University Business School. Let's go to the phone lines. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, and Tanya. And Tanya, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I have some concerns and comments about the HEB on W.W. White in San Antonio. I have only been out myself personally in the past month once, and I happened to go to that store. None of the employees know how to properly wear a mask or gloves. I witnessed employees taking off masks, putting them in their pockets, pulling the same mask out, putting them back on, taking them back off, putting them back in their pocket. Meantime, having the same pair of gloves on, also getting on their cell phones, taking selfies. The employees will gather in little groups of like four and five, chit-chat. I got to observe a lot of this because I had accidentally locked my keys in the car one day, and I got stuck at that particular location for an hour. I had nothing to do but observe the employees.
All right. Tanya, thank you for that call. Dia Campos, can you talk about the training that goes into I'm sure this isn't in the employee handbook at HEB, so you guys are training this on the fly.
We are, and, you know, we appreciate the feedback and act on all feedback that's given to us. We appreciate the feedback. You know, training and preparing over 30,000 front-end partners on mask wearing and proper care of mask and gloves and social distancing, and having to do that in a relatively short period of time, you know, where each store will not be perfect. We're not going to be perfect 100% of the time, but we're getting there because we're HEB, and by, you know, next week we're going to be doing it better than we are this week. And this week we're certainly doing it better than we were last week. And we are literally every day offering training to our partners. One critical move that HEB made early on a few weeks ago, we appointed three critical positions in the store partners dedicated to which we call COVID action managers, COVID action partners, that are dedicated to making sure that our partners are understanding social distancing, doing proper sanitation of the store, as well as hygiene of themselves, taking care of their masks. So we have people selected inside the store that are doing this on-the-job training daily, as well as video training models that are available and released daily. Text messages that go directly to our partners on a regular basis, reminding them of the importance of proper care of their facial coverings and masks, and also personal hygiene. And most important, the social distancing part is not only are we training ourselves and our partners, but we're also having to enforce social distancing and mask wearing in certain cities amongst our customers. So no doubt that this has been an enormous task to tackle, and that we're getting better at it every day.
So, Dia, how much PPE do you have for employees? Did HEB have it on stockpile? What's the story behind that?
Yeah, you know, as we know, masks, global shortage of masks, they're very hard to come by. But our procurement team at HEB is unlike any other, and we're able to find and to source and to bring in an ample amount of masks for our employees, and all employees and customer-facing roles and close contact roles must wear masks in our stores and, of course, in our pharmacies. And soon we'll be able to reopen our bakeries and our delis, and we're not only enforcing masks, but you will see a lot of the service areas in the stores will have the plexiglass partitions. Right now, all of our check stands are pretty much encased in plexiglass. It's not just a single partition, but we are encasing the cashiers in plexiglass. You will see more of that going up around the store. So we have plenty of masks for our partners who need them. We've done training modules on how the proper way to make a homemade mask and to care for it. So all of this kind of training is happening daily.
Another phone call, George. And George, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Well, I went to H-E-B yesterday, and as you were walking in, they were selling masks, five for $6.95, which is a really wonderful price point. I was paying for them, and the cashier said, "Hey, did you get these here?" And I said, "Yeah." And I said, in the entrance, and she said, "Wow." Then she looks over at the bagger and says, "Wow, we only get four a week, and it's hard to keep them clean. I guess on payday, I'll get some extras."
Yes. Okay, I guess we lost George, or we lost that caller. So what's your reaction to that, Dia?
I caught most of it. We did bring masks by a big time demand for our customers who are looking for disposable masks to wear. The masks that we are selling for customers are probably different than the masks that we're offering our partners, and partners do have access to free masks. So I wasn't quite sure. I can't interpret, since I wasn't there in the conversation, I can't interpret it. But masks are available to all of our partners and required amongst those in customer-facing and close contact roles. As disposable masks become more available in the market, we are sourcing those masks for our customers to be able to purchase at that low price point.
Scott Benedict at the Texas A&M University Business School Center for Retailing Studies. How at risk do you think employees are during this pandemic if they are wearing a mask, wearing gloves, being very careful, but they're still at a higher risk range than individuals who are not at the store for 8-10 hours a day?
Yeah, I think we've seen a number of heroic individuals emerge through this crisis. Obviously, healthcare workers, first responders, police and fire and ambulance and that sort of thing. But I think that retail workers who are still in place, still serving the public, still trying to make sure that we have the things that we need to keep life going, are surely amongst that group of people that we need to, one, appreciate their hard work and the dedication and the risks that they're taking. But also, I think that retailers have and must continue to take all steps that they possibly can to keep their employees safe, in addition to the things that I've personally witnessed H-E-B do, whether that's food providers and drink providers like McDonald's or Starbucks. You see their employees with masks and with gloves, and we're seeing a lot of utilization of touchless transactions where, if possible, a transaction is done by scanning a device. A number of retailers have their own apps that have that capability, or they're utilizing the technology that's contained in a lot of today's smartphones that allows either for touchless, contactless, or app-based transactions. And I think that, combined with the gloves, the masks, and just this relentless effort to keep the facilities clean and keep people safe is something that retailers are responsible to do, but it just feels like an awful lot of them are doing a great job of stepping up and doing everything they can. And as they get learnings, like we've seen these examples from a few of these callers, as they get those learnings, they apply those learnings, reinforce the messages, and try the best to make sure that message gets through to every last employee, every last associate who's helping consumers out on the retail floor.
Dia Campos said, HEB San Antonio, when the city of San Antonio put in place a mandatory mask for anyone in the public space, then HEB enforced that as well, right? You said you can't come in the store unless you have a face mask on. Is that right?
That is correct. We have partners stationed at the front entrance of all of our stores And our partners are there to assist customers. One, in case we're metering into the store, we're only allowing a small number of people into the stores to shop safely. And those partners also help customers sanitizing their baskets and making sure they're sanitizing their hands before they enter the store. And those partners now in cities that do have the mandatory mask ordinance are informing customers that they are not able to enter our store without a mask or a facial covering. And, you know, what I'd like to do is ask, you know, we're in this together as a community, and we know that masks are a proven way to help slow the spread of the virus. And as a San Antonio community, and even in Dallas and in Travis County, and now in Houston, we need to behave as a community and to help you know, honor the mask ordinance as a way that our communities are going to come together to slow the spread. So our partners are enforcing that at the door, and we're seeing some great response from the majority of the community. And then we still have some folks who are very reluctant to follow the ordinance. And hopefully, as days pass, that this becomes part of our new norm, at least for the, you know, next several months, or maybe even the foreseeable future, that masks are more, and facial coverings are going to become more common in areas in retail.
Dee, I was at another big box retailer yesterday, and there was one person who just had a T-shirt. Their T-shirt, it was just pulled over their face, you know, and it was the same T-shirt they were wearing. It just pulled it up higher over their face. Another person had a bag of Crown Royal bag, you know, the little bag, and they just had that bag like hanging on front of their face. Wasn't even like doctored into a mask type apparatus. So these are people who are just kind of trying to get by with the least amount of effort. And I understand not everyone can afford like a big, you know, N95 mask. But still, I mean, if people show up at HEB with just like a T-shirt stuck over their face, is that considered a mask?
You know, and we have run into these problems. They're very few and far between, but we have run into them, and there's been a lot of question of is this good enough? You know, and the position that we're taking is that we're trying hard to help the communities, help educate our communities on what a proper facial covering is and how it needs to go completely over your nose and your mouth, and it needs to be kept clean and sanitized. And we are playing a big role in trying to help educate our communities and doing it in real time as people are walking through our stores. And I know our cities have done a great job of helping to educate the public as well. And in the future, you know, our mask ordinance is still new. And in the future moving forward, I'm really hoping, and we are hoping, that we come together as a community to understand what proper facial coverings are and the fact that we're trying to take care of each other and we're trying to take care of each other's families.
So in the days leading up to the enforcement of the mask ordinance, I saw HEB employees at the door telling individuals, we can come in today, but starting Monday, you have to wear a mask. And then, so there was an education process leading up to this, but obviously it's going to take a while to get people to where we want to go with this. We're talking about our local grocery stores and keeping these workers safe and all of us safe. When you wear a mask, you're protecting yourself and you're protecting others. Not wearing a mask, people not showing up with a mask on, with some sort of poor excuse for a mask, put yourself in jeopardy and puts others in jeopardy, and we don't want to have that. So we're going to keep our grocery stores operating at a high level of efficiency while keeping everyone safe. That's our topic this afternoon. You can call in with a question or comment. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. When we come back from the break, we've got some callers. We'll get you on the air also. We'll be talking about how gig workers who are bringing groceries to individuals, how are they maintaining their safety in this time of coronavirus? You can call in 833-877-8255. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. You're listening listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about grocery store workers and how they are at risk during the coronavirus pandemic, what's being done to help keep them safe and the customers safe at your local grocery store. We're now joined by Diego Mendoza Moyers. He's a staff writer for the San Antonio Express News. And Diego, you, welcome back to The Source. You recently wrote a story about personal grocery shoppers who are able to, a lot of people have compromised immunity. They really can't even go to the store at all. Or they don't want to go to the store at all if they don't have to in order to protect themselves. And so they're leaning on these gig workers. So who are these companies and how does this work?
Yeah, so primarily we're seeing companies like Instacart, Shipt, obviously are being really heavily utilized at this time for people, you know, that, like you say, are just too scared to go to the store, and understandably so. They don't want to get sick. So these workers are making these trips. They've really been driven up in demand. But a big problem stemming from this, of course, is that these companies such as Instacart and Lyft, Uber, you know, all these other various gig companies, they don't offer paid sick leave, health care. They don't pay into the unemployment. So a lot of these workers are being forced to work and forced to go shop because they don't have the paid sick leave. So, you know, they're really being forced to choose between their own health and being able to pay the rent, which, you know, a lot of workers I talked with, it's just a difficult decision to make where you're sort of risking your health just to be able to buy your own groceries.
And are these people pretty busy doing this all day long?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. From the gig workers I've talked with, you know, they've seen their demand for stuff like this, you know, go up double than what it was prior to the pandemic. And a lot of these people, you know, they line up outside of these HEBs, these gig workers at 7 a.m. and they wait for an hour before these grocery stores open up because of the, you know, there's so many people lining up to make sure that they can get toilet paper, ground beef, you know, these things. And so these workers really are working, you know, starting at the crack of dawn until the end of the day. So, and again, you know, twice as much capacity as they were before the pandemic.
Now, my concern is, though, if one of these workers, if they're not given the protection that they need and if they're not taking precautions, then they could become super spreaders, couldn't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I will note all the workers I talked with extensively laid out their own sanitation procedures. They all, you know, in separate interviews, I'll mention that, you know, they all said they use Lysol. They sanitize all the bags. They, of course, there's no contact with the person they're shopping for. They just leave the groceries there on the you know, the door front. So these workers take a lot of precautions. Right. But regardless, yeah, I mean, they face a risk every day. And again, it all stems from the fact that they have to choose between working or getting or they can either pay rent or not work. It's one or the other. And so they, you know, because they don't have the paid sick leave that a lot of white collar workers have, obviously.
And they're getting some sort of flat fee, or how does it work for them to get compensated?
Yeah. So in terms of, you know, when they work, they get paid based off of how many, you know, trips they make. And what I've heard is that the tips are generous for these workers. You know, they've told me that a lot of these grocery shoppers develop rapport with some of the people they shop for. So, you know, the tips have been generous, I've heard. So that's at least been fortunate. But of course, these shoppers do not make much money from these services, you know, near minimum wage, depending on how much they work.
Now, they work for, or they're associated with, I don't know if they want to say they work for, some of these things like Shipt and some of these other companies, Instacart, are at least these big labels giving them some sort of instruction or any kind of support, safety guidelines for what they're doing?
Yeah, so of course, they are classified as independent contractors rather than employees. And again, that avails these tech companies such as Uber and Instacart from having to provide benefits for these workers. But so, you know, and regardless, in terms of protections, you know, Uber, Instacart, what they did is they offer 2 weeks of paid sick leave if you test positive for coronavirus. Many workers I talked with were a little frustrated with that. Obviously, testing capacity is limited. But I will say these companies have offered things like, you know, they'll provide hand sanitizer for workers, things like that. And they've made little tweaks to the system to adjust to the heightened demand, things like that. So the companies have tried to accommodate workers, but I would say in a limited capacity, given the fact that they only offer paid sick leave should you test positive for coronavirus.
Dia Campos at HEB San Antonio, you're now rolling out your own service. It's kind of scaled back, but talk about that.
So there are a few options to get groceries from HEB. Customers have been utilizing HEB.com, where you can go online and build your basket and schedule that for delivery or for curbside pickup. And curbside pickup, you know, is a free service if you schedule it a couple days out. And we're opening up slots every day, opening up new slots, broadening our capacity for curbside service, which is probably our most popular way of our customers getting groceries outside of the store. In addition to that, one app that was not mentioned was Favor. Favor Delivery, which is a Texas-based company based in Austin and a subsidiary of HEB, is who we prefer and partner with to get needed groceries to seniors. So a lot of seniors may not have access to the Favor app or favordelivery.com, and they can call a 1-800 number, which is odd for a gig company to even have a phone number. But seniors who do not have access to technology can call that number, and their orders for groceries will be taken, and a driver will be scheduled to pick up groceries and deliver it to them with no delivery fee. And there is a $10 tip for the runner that goes directly to the runner. And in most cases, that $10 tip is actually underwritten by a crowdsourced fund of Texans who want to help cover getting groceries to seniors. So that is one innovative way through Favor Delivery to get groceries from HEBs across the state.
Now, this Favor Express Delivery Service, this is something that you were announced today, I believe. You have 25 items that you can pick, and you can get it delivered within 2 hours. Is that the new wrinkle here?
That's correct. So Favor has been, for the past few weeks, has been exclusively reserved for the use of seniors from HEB stores. There really was not a way for a regular customer to utilize the service because we were reserving it for seniors to fill that need. And now with Favor Express from HEBs and Central Markets, anybody can use the app and be able to get up to 25 items from HEB delivered within 2 hours for the fee is $4.98 or $4.95 or so.
So, Dia, maybe you can help me with this. If you don't have an answer, that's great. As I understand it, in Texas, you cannot use food stamps or in order to use these services, even if the services are free.
So we have changed that. You know, a lot of things have changed very rapidly in Texas. A lot of regulations have been waived, and our government has done great work at making more services available to people who need them, and to waive federal rules that usually would apply here. So I believe starting in a couple of weeks, Texas will have the ability to utilize the SNAP benefit for online services for delivery. And in a couple of weeks, HEB will be rolling out our ability to accept the SNAP program for curbside pickup. And so the SNAP EBT card can be used for curbside pickup. It's something that we are currently testing and working on, and hopefully, if all goes well, we'll be able to make that available in a broader way in the next couple of weeks.
And that's important because people who rely on SNAP shouldn't be forced to have to go into the store, especially if they have poor health and are susceptible to, you know, immune compromised. We don't want to have to force those people to go into the store if they don't have to, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we are encouraging everyone to utilize curbside or delivery services, but also know that we are taking extreme precautions inside the store to make sure that it's the safest shopping experience in case folks need to go inside the store as well.
Diego Mendoza-Moyers with the San Antonio Express News. On your story, as you talk to these gig workers for Shipt, Favor, and others, Instacart, did these individuals feel like that they were really an essential part of helping individuals right now?
Yeah, and I think it's actually interesting you mentioned that, because every single worker I talked with, again, separately, all, you know, brought up this sort of call to duty, a sort of call to action to help these vulnerable people. Like I said, most of these shoppers, the people they shop for, they've developed a rapport with, some sort of relationship with. So, yeah, you know, really, I would say that they're taking this up as sort of something that the community needs, and that, you know, without them, people might be going hungry, things like that. So I do think a sense of duty is motivating these people in some ways.
Scott Benedict with Texas A&M University Business School Center for Retailing Studies. This shows you how some businesses are really adapting, doesn't it?
It is, and it's interesting to see some of the changes unfold on the fly as learnings and feedback and best practices are shared. I'll tell you, I have a personal experience with the gig worker situation. Both of my adult children do DoorDash as a way to supplement their income before the crisis hit, and since the crisis has hit, they've obviously seen an opportunity not only with increased demand for those services, but also a way to replace income lost from regular daytime jobs where they may have been laid off or had their hours cut back. So I think it's important that we all look at this and say, yes, there's positives and negatives. Let's capture the positives as a way to take care of consumers, particularly those that are most vulnerable in our society. And as we learn things about better ways to do things or better precautions that need to be put in place, that we get captured, get those things captured so that they're applied.
Sure.
in the future.
And minimize risk at every opportunity. Diego Mendoza Moyer, San Antonio Express News, thanks for participating right now. I got to let you go. But when we come back from the break, we've got a bunch of callers, got a lot of emails. Get them on the air right after this break. 833-877-8255. The source continues after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about grocery stores, their workers, and you. How can we keep everybody safe, yet get the supplies that you need? The number is 833-877-8255, and we have Paul on the phones. Paul, welcome. You're on The Source. Go ahead. And Paul, are you there? Okay, well, he's not there, so... And Paul, so his question really, I have it from the producer, typed it in here. Dia Campos, his suggestion, would HEB consider making the aisles one way in order to prevent some of the congestion that we have in these aisles and some of the violations that we have for social distancing?
Yes, this is a tactic that we have studied and that we continue to look at. Depending on, you know, traffic flows, and right now we're really seeing a stabilizing a flow inside the store, but that is a tool that we have ready to deploy and something that we continue to look at.
Scott Benedict with the Center for Retailing Studies, Texas A&M University Business School. Some people are going to be looking at HEB and the long lines and everything that's going on and how other businesses are kind of shuttered right now, and they're thinking, boy, these retailers, they must be making bank right now. What's the reality of that?
I don't know of anybody not named Amazon who's doing better in the circumstances. Even retailers that are still able to be open, still serving customers, have clearly seen a hit both in their top line sales, the amount of volume that they're doing because shopping is cut back and so many consumers are either out of work or fear of being out of work that they're really cutting back their spending. Combined with this, a significant amount of expense associated with hiring more people, having more staffing, particularly in supply chain or restocking shelves, working more hours to get merchandise transported more frequently into physical stores or to pick, pack, and ship online orders of groceries or other necessities. So, yeah, there may be some that are seeing some particular categories, particular items increase in sales, but to date, I'm not aware of anybody, again, not named Amazon, that has seen their volume increase. In most cases, They're also incurring additional costs to operate that are associated with this. So it's not been a blessing, I don't think, to any retailer.
And Diakampos, can you answer that question? I mean, is HEB having to invest more in employees, invest more in doing things, limiting the sales? It's not like HEB is going to be walking away from this with heavy pockets.
I echo everything that was said. It is very difficult to operate in the way that we have been operating, but it's the right thing to do. It's the safe thing to do to keep our communities and our partners safe. But it is incredibly difficult, and I can't think of any company who would wish this upon themselves.
All right, let's go to Rachel on the phones. Rachel, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. HEB owns fewer than half the retail stores that sell groceries in the greater San Antonio area. My observation is that by February, Natural Grocers and Whole Foods had informed their employees and educated them on their protective measures against COVID-19, including giving their employees PPE, and Natural Grocers extended paid sick leave to their part-time employees. By contrast, Target has given every one of their employees a face mask, but very few of them in San Antonio wear them because it's optional. And then, of course, in San Antonio, we have numerous locations of Culebra Meat Market and many other local grocers, as well as restaurants such as Nietzsche's that are selling groceries temporarily, providing drive-through grocery delivery. I'm wondering if Scott Bennett could address what seems to be a very gross disparity between the protection of employees and customers in all of these various retail grocers at this time. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for that great question. I really appreciate how well thought out that was. Scott Benedict from Texas A&M University Business School.
Well, David, I think that's a great question. And I think whether it's in a crisis like this or on an everyday basis, the consumer has a vote in which retailers they want to shop with by their decision of where to shop. And I think not only from my role professionally, but as a consumer myself, I have made decisions to go into or not go into certain stores, shop or not shop with certain retailers based on what I'm seeing, particularly as we all get more educated on what sort of precautions are in place, should be in place. So I think the ultimate power rests with the consumer to say, I don't feel comfortable shopping there and I have a choice, take that choice, shop somewhere else where you feel safe. I've encountered places where there aren't face masks, where there aren't gloves, where there aren't protective elements in place, or at least not consistently, and I've literally walked out or driven away from those places as a consumer. And I think that's what we all have a right to do is adjust our shopping habits based on what we see or don't see in those circumstances.
Let's go to Cindy on the phones. Cindy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. Or good afternoon, isn't it? I have been so happy with my HEB. It seems like they're so far ahead of the curve and doing some of the things that are being done. And we just seemed like they were ahead of the curve, and I really appreciate that. And I think we're not only protecting the partners and we, the customers, but we're also protecting our medical staff that I worry so much about if we have to go to the hospital or have to seek care. So thank you for getting those kids ready. I appreciate that. And my question is about deep cleaning. I don't know if you've had to do those, but I wonder what that means.
All right, Cindy, thanks for the question. Diakampos, deep cleaning, what is that?
Yeah, so deep cleaning is something even in a normal situation, HEB has extremely high sanitation standards normally. Right now, the deep cleaning, you know, one of the reasons why our stores were closing early is so we could learn and explore more about, you know, what is our overnight, you know, sanitation look like before we open. And deep cleaning is cleaning things other than just the normal high-touched hard surfaces in the store and high-traffic areas. So it's cleaning the entire store with effective materials. And at this point, doing that a couple times throughout the day, in addition to the constant sanitizing of the high-touch areas, like the plexiglass partitions that you see around our cashiers, those are multiple times a day. Anything that is touched at a high rate multiple times a day, and this also includes our gas stations. And that's something that customers may not think about often, but that's something that is also included in our frequent and deep cleaning sanitation.
John on the phones. John, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. I live out in the country, and I was wondering about Favor. How far out of the city do they go? Will they deliver to me?
All right. Dee? Dia?
You know, this is one interesting retailing story is probably going to be around delivery and how quickly retailers moved into position to be able to expand delivery services. Favor was able to expand relatively rapidly within a few weeks to serve, over 75 new markets and new communities that they had never served before. So as Favor continues to grow and learn how to serve a wider radius around our stores, I think that we will see those service areas open up. And,
things are changing. It could grow out there. So real quickly, as I run out of time, Dia, if you could give me an update on how the employees are doing at HEB. Do you have any numbers of how many employees have tested positive?
You know, like every other business and organization, HEB has not gone unaffected by COVID-19. However, we have been extremely fortunate, and we attribute this to our very early use of sanitation and strict social distancing guidelines, and implementing masks and gloves early in the process. We've been very fortunate. And these are the reasons why we really encourage our communities to do the same. You know, really pay attention to hygiene, to hand washing, and to social distancing, especially when folks are inside our stores and shopping. It's why it's such a priority for us.
So do you have numbers, or can you tell us? I mean, we know that there were some reports of a few employees, or was it in Cibolo or Seguin, someplace where we saw...
Yeah. You know, what's really interesting is, HEB has taken a very transparent approach of, if our customers want to know if there has been a positive partner in their store, they can look that up on our website, on the store's webpage on HEB.com. And we think this is one of probably the more transparent approaches that retailers are taking. And so it's a very customer-based way to inform our customers and to keep the public aware.
And really quickly, in about 30 seconds, what do you want customers to be doing to prevent cross-contamination?
You know, I think really paying attention to, especially in the larger urban cities where the mask ordinances are required, and really understanding that we truly are in this together. We are Texans helping Texans. And wearing our mask and being diligent about hand sanitizing is important for all of us.
And don't be touching stuff that you ain't going to be buying. Keep your hands in your pockets. All right, I want to thank you, Dia Campos, Director of Public and Government Affairs at HEB San Antonio, Scott Benedict, Director of the Center for Retailing Studies, Texas A&M University Business School. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks so much for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.